We're on Daf Samach Aleph Umar Aleph, approximately 11 lines up from the bottom of the Amud, and we're going back to the Mishnah of Lo Bekamia Bizman She'eno Min HaMumche. And that was the Mishnah that we learned back on Daf Samach, which established that you're not allowed to wear a Kamia out in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, even though it might protect you from illness, and this is some sort of an amulet, unless the kamiya was created by a mumche. And it would seem from the Mishnah that with regard to a kamiya min mumche, you're allowed to go out into Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. And now the Gemara wants to analyze, how do we determine who is a mumche? And also, what is the word mumche referring to? Is it referring to the person who created the kamiya? Is it referring to the person? Is it referring to the kamiya itself? No, something has to prove itself or himself. It's either the mumcha who's proven himself, and therefore we can rely on any kamiya that he creates henceforth that is certainly going to be successful and effective. Or are we relying on this kamiya, and maybe not this exact parchment, but something similar with the same Tzirif HaShemos, the same names of God, that has proven itself in the past? Omer HaPapa. So HaPapa addresses this question, and he says, Lo Tema, don't say the following, that the Iser Hotzah B'Shabbos, with this kamiya, applies ad de mumcha gavra umumcha kamiya, that we have a double a necessity to prove in a double sense expertise, both the expertise of the person, we'll call him the healer, who has created the amulet, the kamiya, and the mumcha, and we've proven the mumchius of the kamiya. So you need both Adam, who wrote the kamiya, he has to prove himself as a mumcha, which would mean that he has a chazaka. He wrote three different kamiyas for three different people that fell ill with three different ailments, and they all were successful. And in addition to that, we're going to require that the kamiya itself has proven itself to be effective. And this kamiya was effective three times for that particular choli, for that particular disease, so that if, let's say, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, or Rachel, or Leah wants to wear that kamiya because they're suffering from the same disease that three other people suffered from, and three other people were healed by this kamiya, they can use that kamiya. Again, keep in mind, I don't mean that particular kamiya, but I mean any kamiya that is identical with that kamiya. It has the same content, if you will. And you can wear that in Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Papa comes Lafuke, don't think that you need both to prove the Gavra and to prove the Kamiya, to prove the person who made the Kamiya, and also to prove the Kamiya itself. Elakeva de Mumche Gavra, Afal Gav de lo Mumche Kamiya. Even if you haven't proven anything about this Kamiya, but you've proven the Gavra, and he has established himself as someone who successfully writes Kamiyas, he's an expert, he's a mumcha, effective kamiyas that he creates, then when this particular gavra, this healer, creates a kamiya, any kamiya that he creates for any ailment, you can wear that on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. We haven't proven anything about the kamiya itself, but we've proven the gavra, the mumchius ha-gavra, and that is sufficient. So let's take, for example, Rashi gives the scenario that he creates three different kamiyas for three different people. And this particular sort or category of kamiya that he's creating now has no track record whatsoever. It's never been used. It's never healed anything. So he has a brand new kamiya, a new combination of shemos. We can rely that this gavra, since he's a mumcha, because he's created in the past three different kamiyas that were effective for three different people, now when he's creating a kamiya for a fourth person who has a different disease to worry about, he will know exactly which kamiya fits that particular disease, and he'll create an effective kamiya. That's the way Rashi has it. Tosfos and the Rush seem to disagree with Rashi. They hold that a person cannot become or establish himself as a mumche for other kamiyos. So when we talk about an other mumche, according to Tosfos and the Rush, it's a person who wrote one type of kamiya. He wrote it at least three times, and anyone who used that kamiya was healed by virtue of that kamiya. And according to Tosfos and the Rush, he's not a mumcha for other kamiyos, he's a mumcha for this particular type or category of kamiya, because he's already proven its efficacy three times. Three different people used this kamiya, and they were healed. And therefore, he's established himself as a mumcha, but only for that particular kamiya. And according to Tosfos and the Rush, mumchis of the kamiya would mean that this particular kamiya that we're looking at, we're pointing to one parchment, was effective three times. And it healed either the same person three times or three different people. And now this igeres, this parchment, has proved itself. And Rav Papa is saying, we don't need that. He may have dispensed different igros, or different kamiyos, if you want to call it that, to different people. And he's proven himself as a mumcha, because all these igros that he gave, all these kamiyos that he dispensed, have been successful. And although that would not establish his mumchis for other diseases other than this particular disease, which means he wrote a particular kamiya three times, and the three different igros, and each one of these igros was successful. When he recreates that igeres, that kamiya for a fourth time, you can yotze b'shus harav, you can rely on that kamiya. And that's what Rav wants to say, even though there's no particular igeres that you could point to that has been successful three times. You can already anticipate that this mumcha will create another igeres similar to this one, and it'll be successful for that particular disease and that particular kamiya, because he's already dispensed with three kamiyos for that disease to three different people. They've been successful. Tana Rabbana, Ezu Kamiya Mumcha. Now, the impression you get from this brisa is that there is, in addition to the category that we discussed until now, of a Gavra who's a Mumcha, and that's going to be Matir going out into Rosh Hashanah, there's also a Kamiya that's a Mumcha. And the Bryce is addressing the question, what would qualify as a Kamiya Mumcha? Just one second, I think we skipped something. Sorry. Deka Nami, the Gemara wants to bring support from our Mishnah to the statement of Rav Papa. The Ketani, V'lo B'Kamiya, B'Zman She'eno Mina Mumcha. And the implication is that there's an Iser Yitzia, which depends upon the fact that there's no Adam Mumcha. Right? Min HaMumcha means that it came from a Mumcha. And the flip side, to be Mati, would be Nasa Al Yidei Mumcha. For Lo Ketani, it doesn't say Bizman She'eno Mumcha, leaving out the word Min HaMumcha, which would imply, had it said Bizman She'eno Mumcha, that we're talking, the Kepeda here is on the Kamiya itself, where the Kamiya is a Mumcha, not a Mumcha. Shmami no, we see from this that our Mishnah holds it's sufficient if the Adam became a Mumcha, And that would be Matir Lotzeis B'Shabbos. And now we're back to Tana Rabbanan again, and we're talking about the effective Kamiya. And what is an effective Kamiya that's proven itself? Kol Sharipa Vishana Vishilesh. That this Kamiya has been successful three times over. The Gemara later on is going to explain in greater detail about the mumchius of this Kamiya in the fact that it was Merapa three times. And this Kamiya, which has been Merapa three times, is Mutal Lotzeis Bo Rishus HaRabim. And now the Brisa tells us that there are two different categories or types of Kamiyos. There's one, a Kamiya Shal Ksav, that's written on a parchment, and there's another one, Echad Kamiya Shal Ikarin, which means it's made from Sharshei Samimonim, from the roots of different herbs. And the Chola would be allowed to go out with Kmios, and it matters not whether it's a Kmiya Shal Ksav or a Kmiya Shal Ikrin. So what does the word Kmiya actually mean, just from an etymological point of view? A Kmiya means either a bundle or a packet. The concept of a packet means a packet of herbs, whereas the bundle is referring to a piece of parchment. So since the word Kamiya encompasses both interpretations, therefore the Brisa points out that the Kamiya could be either or. So it's not that we allow him to carry the amulet, or let's call it a packet of herbs, in his hand in Rishus HaRabim. We allow him to attach the packet to his body. We'll see some of the conditions. He's not allowed to tie it down because then he'll violate a Melechus Kosher. But it's not that we're allowing him to carry it. I think that carrying in his hand would be a real Derech Otsoi, we would have to have a Pikuach Nefesh situation. And look at the next line in the Braisa. It says, Echad Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana, V'Echad Chola She'ein Bo Sakana. So even though he's not in a Pikuach Nefesh situation, we're going to allow him to attach this to his body for the sake of his health. And it's part of his begodim, because it's attached to his body. Now you might ask, well, what about the Issur Refuah? You know, we have a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan that prohibits Refuah on Shabbos. So if it's not a Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana, why are we going to allow this tying down for the sake of Refuah? This might be Refuah, but maybe Refuah is only Asur if you do it in a physical way. And it's also possible that Refuah is only Asur if immediately there's a refuah, and this is a well-known medical procedure that immediately brings refuah. Here it's a long-term process. In any event, the Meiri discusses this. Maybe we'll get a chance to see the Meiri. Now the Brisa goes on to say that this heter applies lo shenichpa el shelo yikofa. No, it's not limited to someone who's already now ill. He's suffering from this disease right now. But it also applies to someone who's right now clinically healthy, but he wants to prevent himself from falling ill to this disease. Now Rashi on the bottom of the Omid writes, Shebomi Mishpachas Nichfin. So Rashi introduces a hereditary factor. And this is very important because it's not just Tom that he's deciding, a healthy guy, that he wants to wear this kamiya, but rather he needs a preventative measure because he has a propensity to this disease because of his genetic background. And then the Braisa stipulates a condition, Ubivad Shalo Yiksharen. So what does this mean, Ubivad Shalo Yiksharenu? So first of all, let's point out that for sure he's not allowed to do an act of kshira, because a full-fledged kesher, which would mean a kesher shel kayama on Shabbos, would certainly be prohibited under one of the 39 malachas kosher. And again, we're not talking about a cholos sheyesh bo sakana. So he somehow circumvents the problem of kesher. Here he quotes in the note to Piskei Ri'az, Aval kesher shel kayama yesh isu tor machmas hakshira atzmo shiachas milamites malachas. That's going to be the subject Mavur Lahalon on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph in Perek Abone. And there the Gemara is going to distinguish between what's called a Kesher Shel Hedjot and a Kesher Shel Uman. And the question is, are we going to allow Lechatchila a Kesher Shein Shel Kayoma? And the Ramah seems to paskin in Siman Shin Yud Zayin that even a Kesh Shena Kayom is only Mutal L'chatchila, conditional on the fact that we know that it's not a Kesh Shel Uman, but rather Kesh Shel Hedjot. So you need two Tate Lutevuso. You have to check out that it's number one, Eina Shel Kayom, and number two, it's Eina Shel Uman, but rather Shel Hedjot. It could also be that even if we're not clear whether or not this is Shal Hedjot or Shal Uman, since the Kesh Shein is Shal Kayama, the Rabbana might be Mekil B'makom Tsar. Again, would B'makom Tsar apply in a Chol Shein Bo Sakana? Fine. But what if he's not even a Chol at all? He just comes from Mishpachas Nichfin. I don't know. That's interesting whether Tsar would kick in as a factor to be Matir in such a case. On Issa Drabbana. Now you might ask, how would the Rabbanan allow him to tie on this amulet in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, and why aren't they afraid that maybe he'll forget it on Shabbos, and he might even forget that today is Shabbos, and by the time he reminds himself, he's already carried it for Amos Rishus HaRabim. And to quote the Tosfos and the Rosh, it says, "Mipnei shelo yarviach lo yarvichu klum b'gzeirazu l'fisha im yu zochrim shu Shabbos b'shashi yasiro harei lo yavo l'taltel." Let's assume he's going to remind himself when he took off the kamiya that it's Shabbos, then he's not going to come to carry it. He'll put it back on. If, on the other hand, he forgets that it's Shabbos, then even if we'll tell him that it's also to tie it down on Shabbos, that's not going to help, because he doesn't remember at all that it's Shabbos. So then there's no chashash here that when they allow him to tie this on Shabbos, this kamiya, with, again, with all the conditions, it's a kesher shein shel kayom, etc., etc., we're not going to be choshish that we'll have a situation where there'll be matir and he'll do this when he remembers it's Shabbos, and then he'll forget it's Shabbos afterwards. And how does he tie this down in the Kesher Shein Shel Kayama? He says, Kosher umatir afilu birshus harabim ubilvad shelo yiksharenu bishir ubitabas v'yetzibo b'shus harab. Now here in this case, he wants to tie his kamiya down to some sort of a bracelet, which is called a shir, or to a tabas, to a ring. He wants to attach it to a ring. Again, this is a small kamiya that he could attach to his ring, but it's not permissible, because that's not the normal way of carrying a kamiya, and it looks like he's trying to set it up as a tachshit, which it really isn't. It's not in any way an adornment. It's purely lirafuah, but it's not obvious to the naked eye, to the spectator, that this is lirafuah, because this is not the derech hamisrapim. They don't use a shir and a tabas. And here we get into the issue of maris ayin, that people will come to the wrong conclusion, mishum maris ayin, and they will suspect him of wearing the amulet as an ornament, which is not so, and they think he's violating the isur. He's only allowed to wear the ornament as a refuah, b'derech hamisrapim, but not as an ornament. And if they don't see that he's doing it b'derech hamisrapim, they suspect him of doing it as if it was an ornament, and in truth a kamiya is not an ornament, it's not a tachshit, then this is forbidden. He's not allowed to wear it that way, and they're going to suspect him of violating this isur. Now, from the fact that the Braisa says Ezi Kamiya Mumcha, and it says Kol Sharipa Vishana Vishalish, we should understand that even if these three times that it was successful, it was effective, was for one single person, then that Kamiya becomes a Mumcha, which you're allowed to wear, and the reason for that is because it's proven itself three times over. So that even though we're not talking about a mumcha healer, meaning the creator of the amulet was not a mumcha, because the language of the Braisa is kamiya mumcha, and even though all three times it was merapa one person, right? A mumcha would have to prove himself by being merapa three people. Here the kamiya was only effective for one person. Vaistois, we derive from this shmamina that there's such a concept called kamiya that's a mumcha. So the Gemara immediately asks, Vatanya, we have a different braisa that says Ezu kamiya mumcha. Kol Sharif Ripa Shlosha Bnei Adam Ke'echad, which Shlosha Bnei Adam seems to indicate that you need three different people. That would be more appropriate for a Mumcha Gavra. The healer is proven of his Mumcha use because he's been effective for the sake of healing three different people. If you're talking about the Mumchius of the Kamiya itself, then Adam Echad should be enough. So why does the Braisa say that it's not enough that this Kamiya has healed the same person on three different occasions, but rather we need that it heals three different people? That would prove the Mumchius of the Gavra. And the Gemara answers, Lo Kasha, Holim Chuyei Gavra, V'Holim Chuyei Kamiya. So the Gemara's answer is that second Braisa that required that there be a ripui of three different people, that's l'inyan mechuye gavra. So you want to be koveh the mumchius of the person who wrote the amulet, and if he healed effectively three different people with three different amulets that are not similar one to the other, he becomes an established chezkas mumcha for all different amulets that he'll create for the rest of his life. That's how Rashi learns it. Rashi has a comparison here to a shar muad that was nogeah three different species of animals. Now he's muad for all species of animals. So this individual was merapa three different people with three different kamiyos from three different diseases that aren't similar. And each one of the kamiyos is different. And he was successful. And that gives him a chazaka. Now, in the case of a mumcha li adam, as we said before, from now on he's got the license and he's registered. He's licensed. So the Braisa therefore mentions that he was merapa three different people in order to teach us that we're talking about three different kamiyos because of three different people that suffered from three different machlos, three different diseases. If he only writes one type of a kamiya, then he doesn't become a mumcha for other kamiyos. He's only proven himself for that one type, one category of kamiya. But now that he's written three different kinds of kamiyos, and although the kamiyos themselves have not proven their mumchias, because you know he's only operated once with each kamiya, but nevertheless he himself, the gavra, has proven himself with three times on three different kamiyos, and now we can believe him for all the kamiyos. For the first brisa that says, quote, Kol Sharipa Vishana Vishilesh, which implies that even one person was healed, that's a case of Mechuye Kmiya, and we convey the expertise of this Kmiya, and if he would create a different Kmiya, a different parchment, that whatever parchment he creates, but it worked effectively on three different occasions, even for one person, that kamiya becomes b'cheskas mumchis, and you'd be allowed to wear it out in Rishus Arabim on Shabbos. And if there were three people, and there were three different kamiyos, then, I'm sorry, if there were three different people, let's just go over this, and these different people wrote, each one, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, were all different healers, so to speak. They are the authors, the creators of the kamiyos, respectively. And they all created the same kamiya, meaning the tochen, the substance of the kamiya was identical in all three cases. And all three cases were successful, then that means that min kamiya, that exact format of a kamiya, has proven itself as a mumcha. Even though as far as the gavra is concerned, he only healed one person, certainly he hasn't established any sort of chazaka. So no matter who would create that, let's call it fourth kamiya, which is identical to the first three of three different people, so we're now up to Yisachar. So we have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and now we're up to Yisachar. Yisachar creates the same kamiya that was created and successful by Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. That would be a reliable kamiya and would be permitted in Rishus Aram. This is all based on Rashi. Tosis and the Rush that we mentioned earlier hold that this distinction is only when the kamiyos were written for one person. If they were written for three different people, is even though they weren't written by three different, if they're written for three different people, even though they weren't created by three different people, but rather they're created by the same person, that would be kovea a kamiya mumcha. And that kamiya mumcha, as we said before, could be created by someone else. It doesn't matter who. Now the Gemara brings different scenarios where kamiyos were successful three times over, and it tells us in which cases would the person who created these three kamiyos be considered mumcha, and in which case would the kamiya itself be considered mumcha. Amar Rav Papa, pshitali, I have no doubt about the following scenario. One person writes tlos kamiya. He writes three different kamiyos, litlos gavri, for three different people who are ill with three different diseases. So you've got three different kamiyos written for three different people who are suffering from three different diseases. So each one of these groups will get a different kamiya. And it was effective tlasa zimni. So again, because he's writing three kamios for three different people who are suffering from three different diseases. Each one of these three people got one particular type of kamiya. And he was successful tlosa tlosa zimni. Each one of these kamios, he created three of them, was effective on three different occasions for the same chola, who contracted the disease once, and he, after recovering, contracted a second time, and then a third time, is ismache gavra vismache kmiya. In this case, says Rav Papa, you have an overlap of both a mumchius that was established for the gavra, and you have a mumchius established for the kmiya. As far as the gavra is concerned, he's proven himself, because he has healed three different people from three different diseases. As far as the kamiya is concerned, the kamiya has also established its mumchius for those three different kamiyos, because each one of those three kamiyos was successful on three different occasions. I'll read to you the Hebrew translation. He says, "V'gam minim elu shal kamiyos nasim mumchim, afim adam acher yichtavam." So now another person, other than those who created one, would recreate the same kamiyos. So we have here three different categories of kamiyos. Harem b'cheska sheo ilu, we can anticipate they will be successful. Shari kol shlosh sa kamiyos ho ilu shalosh pa'amim. Each one of the kamiyos was successful on three different occasions. So each one of those three minim of kamiyos has established its mumchius, no matter who writes those three, any of those three kamiyos, the categories of kamiyos, again for the appropriate disease. So that's mutter lotzeis b'yirushus harab b'shabbos, because it's a proven kamiya. Now Rav Papa continues, and he addresses the scenario where one person writes tlosa kmiya litlosa gavri chad chad zimna. That's called gavris machoi, but kmiya lois machoi. So now we're talking about a case where one person writes three different categories of kmios for three different people, each one suffering from a different disease. But each one of these kmios was only effective on one occasion. So again, sach hakol, all total, this mumch has created three different kmios. And he gives each one of these kamiyos to a different person who's suffering from a different disease. And they all successfully were healed. So, again, the kamiyos themselves only worked successfully once, but the gavra has proven himself on three occasions. He becomes a mumcha, and according to Rashi, it means like the Shar Muad model, for all different kamiyos that he creates for all different diseases. He's already established his license. He's now a licensed practitioner of creating kamiyos that are healing and are successful. But the kamiya lo bismache, because there's no particular min of kamiya that has proven itself on three occasions. Now we get to the next case, the next scenario of Rav Papa, which also is simple and certain in his mind. And this could be the opposite situation, where there's no proof of the mumchius of the healer and the writer of the kamiyos, but there's mumchius proven for the kamiya. And what's his case? One person writes chad kamiya litlosa gavri. He has one particular kamiya which he writes over and over again for three different people. Chad chad zimna. Each one of these kamiyos was effective. I'm sorry, I went back to the previous one. Let's read it again. Sorry. One person writes chad kamiya litlosa gavri. He writes the same kamiya three times for three different people is kmiya smachi, which means that the kmiya of that tfus, of that type, that min, has proven itself on three occasions. And therefore someone else who would write that same kmiya, that kmiya would be absolutely reliable, be effective, it would be mumcha. Aval gavrilo smachi, which means in Rashi's frame of reference that the gavra has not proven himself a mumcha to write other, you know, he's not licensed to write other kinds of kmiyos and solve other diseases. He's only proven himself with regard to one kmiya, one min kviya, I should say. Because he used that min kviya over and over again for the same identical disease. So he's an expert on that particular disease. It's not like the case of Rav Papa earlier, in which he solved over and over again problems for different diseases with different kmiyos. Here, he's repeated his mumchius on that particular disease. So in the first two scenarios, where there is a mumcha gavra, what we mean is that there were three different types of kmiyos, all of which were successful. Once he touches on three different types, it's like a shara muad who attacks this species of animal, another species of animal, a third species of animal. He's now mumcha for all kmiyos and for all diseases. In this third scenario, he has only proven himself to be an expert on one particular disease. He has not solved the problem of three different people for three different diseases, but rather three different people for the same disease. So on that disease, he's an expert, but not beyond. But now we get to the suffix of Rav Papa. Boy, Rav Papa, tlasa kmiye lechad gavra mai. So one person writes three different kmiyos for three different diseases, but for only one person. So there's one person who contracted never three different diseases. Kmiya vaday lo ismache. That's not part of his suffix. That doesn't come into the equation here of the vacillation of a papa, because as far as kmiya is concerned, he's got three different kmiyos, but none of the three have proven itself, because they're for three different diseases, and they're three different types or categories of diseases and kmiyos. I mean, each kmiya is different. So that's for sure. There's no kmiya in the world that has now been proven its mumchis. But gavra, here's the suffix, ismache o lo ismache. What's the status of the gavra? And what are the two tzedakim of Papa? Mi amrin, do we say? Ha asile. After all, he, this particular creator of kmiyos, was successful in healing three different diseases. The problem is, they were all suffered, these three differences, by one person. O Dilma, shall we say, Mazlut Hai Gavra, who to come a Kabal Ksava? That maybe the expertise of this particular Mumcha, Gavra Mumcha, is only for that one person. Again, he has solved three different diseases, but all of them were for one person who never fell ill with these three different diseases. Is therefore, it could be that there's the mazel of this particular individual, of this chole, that allows him to get a ripui. And it happened to be that the facilitator, the conduit of bringing about his healing was this particular creator. So this individual chola, who's again contracted different diseases and has been helped and cured by three different kmiyos of the same person, this particular individual has a certain malach. Rashi identifies mazel as a malach who guards this particular individual chola such that he could be makabel kmios, and the kmios could facilitate his ripui, his cure, becoming cure. But that doesn't prove that the rofe could write kmios for other people. And this remains an outstanding question, and the Gemara says teku. No final conclusion. So let's try to offer a summary of what we saw here in Rav Papa in terms of guidelines for mumchius of the Gavra, mumchius of the Kamiya, at least according to Rashi. So if this Gavra heals one person three times from the same disease with the same type of amulet, although the Gavra has not proven himself as a mumche, because all of his, what word do I want to use? All of his activity was on the same disease. We want to see him prove himself on other diseases. If he proves himself on three different diseases, we can assume they could heal a fourth disease. But the amulet itself, the Kmiya, is proven its mumchius, because that particular type of Kamiya was effective three times. The fact that it was effective three times for one person is irrelevant. It just shows you that that form, that tfus of a Kamiya, is effective for that disease. So if somebody else comes along and he creates that same Kamiya for that same disease, then the Kamiya is Bechezkas Mumcha, and you could wear it in Rosh Hasharab. Next, let's say the Gavra would be effective for three people who are suffering from the same disease. And of course he uses the same min kamiya. Well, let's say three different mumchim would heal the same person from the same disease with the same type of amulet, then once again the amulet is proven effective for any person suffering from that disease, no matter who writes it. But the Gavra has not proven his mumchius until he heals three different diseases. Here, he's only healed people suffering from the same disease, or even if they're a different disease, but it was different people, different healers, so to speak. Now let's get to the third category. If, let's say, the creator of this Kamiya, again the Gavra, would be able to heal three people from three different diseases, and he has three different minim, then the healer, we call him the Gavra, has proven his mumchius. We have no proof as far as the Kamiya is concerned, because since each of these three people suffer from different diseases, they each got a different amulet. So the Kamiya was only used for one person. That doesn't prove anything about the Kamiya. The Gavra has proven his mumchius because he was able to heal three different people from three different diseases. Now let's go on to another scenario. Let's say the Gavra heals three people from three different diseases three times, using three different minim of kamios. In such a case, we have both the mumchius established of the Gavra as well an overlap of the mumchius established of the Kamiya. Why? Because each one of these three different Kamiyos was successful three different times for that particular disease, and that establishes the mumchius of that category, of that min of Kamiya. And finally, we get to the last scenario, which is the suffik of Rav Papa that ends with a teku, where the mumcha heals one person from three different illnesses with three different minim of kamiyas. Obviously, the kamiya hasn't proven itself, but perhaps we could say that the mumcha, the gavris, has proven himself because he healed the same person from three different diseases. So he is capable of healing three different diseases. Or do we say that the malach was protecting this particular individual? Iboilahu, the Gemara now is a suffek. This is already a different sugya within the general sugya of kamiya. Kamiya and yeshbem kedusha, o dilma, ein bahem kedusha. And the Gemara wants to know, as we'll soon see, where the writing of Shemos of Hashem on a parchment, in the case of a kamiya, generates a status of Kedusha. It's not a full Sefer or even a parasha of a Sefer. And it wasn't written for the purpose of Kedusha Hashem, but nevertheless, it's written on parchment. And it's got Shemos. Lamai Hilcha. So what nafkamina is there? The Gemara says, Ilei melatzulinu mipnei adleika. We have halacha that there are certain sfarim kedoshim in certain scenarios that you're allowed to take out of a reshus hayochid, out of a private house, into a chatzer she'ena mureves. There was no erev chatzeros. Again, Erev Chatzeres means when you have different batim that share one courtyard and they all have to gather together and be mishtatef in a loaf of bread. But this particular chatzer was not subject to Eruv. But they were matir on Shabbos when there's a sreifa to save Kisvei HaKodesh in front of the Dleika and bring it from the house into the chatzer, even though the chatzer has no Eruv. And that's going to be a sugya later on, a daf kuf tes vav, kol kisvei hakodesh matzilin osan mipnei hadleika. So what's the deal with this kamiya? Does it have kedusha and therefore matzilin osan mipnei hadleika or not? So Gemara says that's not the suffix that was raised. Toshma Habrachos ve'akmin afal pishyesh bem osios umi inyonos harbe shabbat Torah ein matzilin osan b'fnei adleikim v'nisrofim b'mkoma. This brisa is explicit that as far as the halacha of hatzol b'fnei adleika, taking it out of the bais into the chotzer, a kamiya is excluded. It's not sanctified with that kedusha of Sifrei HaKodesh. And let's say he writes brachos, for example, on a klaf, in order to recite them during his tfilos and so forth and so on. Even though there are osios of Shem Hashem, and this is certainly true in the case of amulets of Kamiyin, and different concepts of different parashiyos of the Torah are written, nevertheless, it does not have the Kedusha Sefer Tatsola b'fnei adleika. Even if that means it'll go up in smoke, that's what has to happen. We can't take it out into a chatzer. Now, where do you find brachos that have psukim in the Torah? So Rashi points out that on Rosh Hashanah, we have a tefillah of Musaf made up of nine brachos, and it's full of psukim of Malchus Zichrono Shofros. And in Kamiyim, very often they write mikros, different psukim and verses of the Torah. Like, for example, in Shmos, Perek Tesvav, it says, Kol HaMachlash HaSamti B'Mitzrayim Lo Asam Alecha, or for example, in Tilim, Lo Sirim Pachad Loila. Many different parshis in the Torah that are related to Bakosha's tefillah for refuah. And those could be written down on a klaf. And in both these cases, brachos and kmios, we're not allowed to save them from the deleika. And the Baal HaMor here on the Rif says, "Mipnei sheyesh isur lichtov psukim shelo b'sefer Torah." This has to do with the sugya in Masechet Gittin Daf Samach regarding writing psukim or tfilos and brachos chachamim or mesakin, that we should write that we should recite them baal peh. And all this is kidei sheyechave daito v'lo yishtabesh machmas atevos she'eno makir. He should really know these tevos by heart. And since you're not allowed to write them, then you're not allowed to save them. And that's all part of guaranteeing that people shouldn't write them. Now again, how does this impact on writing kmios? Are we going to say that also lichto psukim shelo b'sefer Torah? He says, "Ain din zen noeg el bizman ha-gemara shelo yu nogim lichto psukim u-brachos ha-yum ispalim v'lom din bal peh. Al bizman hazeh shemach mas ha-shicha nogu lichto v'skol ha-torah shebal peh v'gam es ha-brachos." And that's all included, as the Gemara points out in the Pasuk, the heter v'es ha-sos ha-shem e-feris ha-secha. Then the din of these brachos is equivalent to Shar Kisvei HaKodesh. We would save them from a dleika. Now, let's talk about kmios. The Ramban in his Melchamos and the Rashban in his Tshuvas write that we don't save kmios even Bizman HaZeh. And the reason for that is because as far as kmios is concerned, we're not going to distinguish between Zman HaGemara and Zman HaZeh and say that, well, In our time, we have a heter to write kmios with psukim, whereas that heter didn't exist at the time of the Gemara. That we can't say. We can only say that as far as brachos is concerned, because of the special heter of Esas Os Hashem. But the heter to write psukim bizman hazeh simply for an amulet doesn't exist, just like it didn't exist at the time of the Gemara. And therefore, the Rashba concludes that aser lichto psukim bekmios. So what we mentioned before, that there are certain psukim in the Torah that deal with refuah and address the topic of refuah, and therefore you would write them in a kmios, we were just giving examples of why anyone would even have a havamin of writing these psukim in kmios, but lamaisa, you're not allowed to write psukim in kmios. However, the tour in Shulchan Aruch writes, this is our Chaim Siman Shin Lamed Dalet, that in our time, we're going to save even brachos, not only brachos, but also kmios. Again, we had a logic before of Esas Os Hashem to allow psukim of brachos. We didn't have that logic in the case of kmios, but nevertheless, to our surprise, the Torah says that today we'll save even kmios from a deleika. And the Beis Yosef writes, says that once they were matir writing psukim for brachos and tefilos, they were matir also kmios. I'm not exactly sure why, but I guess they've already applied Esas Os Hashem for brachos and tefilos. They'll go a step further and extend that heter of Esas Os Hashem even to kmios. The Marshal, also a contemporary of the Beis Yosef, he writes, "She Yisra Atzolos kmios eino rak b'nei shelo nitnu li kosev, elo b'nei she'eino b'chlal kisvei HaKodesh v'eino me'elo tachshitim, l'chein osur ap b'zman hazeh." So the Bach takes an opposite approach to the Beis Yosef, and he says, wait a minute, you know, the problem of Hatzolah, of kmios, is not just because you're not allowed to write them, but also because they don't have the status of Kisvei HaKodesh. And that applies even Bizman HaZeh. So the Heter of Hatzolah on Shabbos to a Chotzer only applies to Kisvei HaKodesh. These are not classified as Kisvei HaKodesh. Now, there are other Rishonim who have the opinion that you're not allowed to write Psukim and Kmios because of a principle formulated in the Gemara in Shvuos, Daf Tesvavim in Beis, Sha'osel Israpos B'divrei Torah. And therefore, in Matsuyin also, in any event, the bottom line is we're back to the original question as to why the Gemara thinks that maybe there's Kedusha to these Kmios. Ella says the Gemara, Le'inyan Gniza. The question is whether you have to bury these Kmios once they get disintegrated. If they have Kedusha, they need Gniza. If they don't have Kedusha, then they don't need Gniza. You can just leave them in Hefka, wherever you want to leave them. Any place is okay. The Gemara rejects this possibility as well. Toshma. Hoyakosuv. Shem Hashem, I'm adding. Al Yodos HaKelim. Al Karya Mita. Yogod. Vigins Nizenu. That if the name of Hashem is inscribed on any sort of utensil or on the legs of a bed, I don't know why he went ahead and did so, is then he cuts off the place where the name of Hashem has been inscribed and he hides it. He buries it. As far as the keli that now has been, if you can pardon the word, stripped of the Shem Hashem, that's mutter. You can use that for any tashmish chol. And the kmios that have shemos in them, for sure, are not worse than the kelim and the karya mita that we mentioned, then for sure they need gniza. So it doesn't make sense that the suffix of the Gemara was about gniza. Ella, but rather, this is the final possibility. Likonis b'em b'beis hakise. Are you allowed to go into a latrine, into a bathroom, with these kmios? Yesh b'em kedusha asur, o dilmei b'em kedusha v'shari. You're allowed to. Is tashma come and hear a proof, as far as this suffix is concerned, from our Mishnah back on Daf Samach, it says, Lo yetze v'shavas b'kmiya b'zman she'eno min ha-mumcha. Ha-min ha-mumcha nothing. So if you have a kmiya that's written by a mumcha, he's allowed to wear it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbah on Shabbos. V'i amir, if you're going to tell me, kmiya yesh be mishum kedusha, is zimnin dimitzrich lebeis hakise, osi lisinhu, we have to be afraid that maybe while he's carrying these kmios, he might have to go to the washroom, he has to relieve himself, and he's going to go into a bathroom, and he's going to have to take out the kmios, because you tell him, yesh b'em kedusha, you're not allowed to wear them in a bathroom, or take them into a bathroom. Now, once he takes it out in order to go into the bathroom, then we have to be afraid that he'll come and take it in his hand and carry it for Amos. So how could they allow you on Shabbos to take these kmios into Rosh Hashanah Rabbah? So right now the Gemara thinks it has a clear-cut proof that Yesh Bem Kiddush as far as the Iser Li Kanis Bem Bebeis HaKisa. Again, we have to understand why is it that until now we spoke about shemos, that you have to remove the shemos for the kmiya. We even talked about the possibility that you'd let a kmiya go up in smoke on Shabbos rather than save it from a fire and take it out to a chotzer. So until this point, we seem to have been assuming that ain't b'hem kedusha. They don't have the kedusha as far as hatzolas kisvei hakodesh mina dleika. Perhaps they do have a basic level of what we call chiv gniza, but even that is only partial because we probably just have to take out the shemos from the kmiya. We wouldn't say the kmiya itself has kiddush, but now we're raising the possibility that there is real Kedusha, inherent Kedusha, to the Kmios, which would mean that you're not letting go into the Beis HaKiseh. Again, the Gemara is questioning that, because if so, how would we allow you to wear this Kmiya in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos? And the Gemara rejects this argument, says maybe, perhaps, you're not allowed to go into a Beis HaKiseh. And if you ask me how the Mishnah was matir going out with a Kmiya of a Mumcha, into Rosh Hashanah, is Chochmas Kmiya b'Kmiya shel Ikarin. We're not talking about a Kmiya that's written on a cloth, but rather the pouch, if you remember, that we spoke about, which means that he has different herbs in a pouch. And they allowed him to go out into a Rosh Hashanah with that pouch. And the reason is because if he has to go to the John, then he'll go into the bathroom. I mean, there's no Easter for sure, no Kedusha at all in Ikrin, in these herbs. So Gemara rejects this. For Tanya, we have a price that says explicitly, Echad Kamiya Shal Ksav, the Echad Kamiya Shal Ikrin, you're allowed to wear on Shabbos, in a Rosh Hashanah. Why aren't we afraid that he'll remove the Kmiya Shal Ksav when he goes into the Beis HaKiseh, if you're assuming it has Kedusha? The Gemara tries to reject it now in a different way. Ella, perhaps the reason why you're, even if I assume that you're not allowed to go into the Beis HaKiseh, it has Kedusha, they would still be a leniency and allow you to take this amulet out into Rosh Hashanah. In other words, we're talking about a person whose life is in danger, and it would be a very bad idea to take off the kmiya even for a short period of time. So therefore, he's not going to take off the kmiya. No way, no how. He's not going to strip himself of the kmiya. His life is in danger. He's allowed to go out with the Kmiya on Shabbos, because he's allowed to go into the Beis HaKiseh because of Pikuach Nefesh. There's no chash that he'll carry in Rosh Hashanah. Again, I don't know why you have to add that if he's already in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. L'chor, you don't have to add that he's not going to take it off when he goes into the Beis HaKiseh. And he might carry in Rosh Hashanah. I mean, all those chashos l'chora would be irrelevant. In any event, the Gemara rejects this possibility. Why? Because for Tanya, we have a brayse that says echad cholat sheish bo sakon, echad cholat sheim bo sakon. Both of them are allowed to wear the kmiya on Shabbos. So if we're talking about a cholat sheim bo sakon, then if you're going to tell me that there's kedusha and an iser knisa lebeis hamercha, it's, well, I should say Beis HaKiseh in this case, then we should l'chora prohibit him from taking this Kmiya out on Shabbos into Rosh Hashanah, because he might go into the Beis HaKiseh and leave it outside and then carry it for Amos. Ella, the Gemara says, it's also to go into a Beis HaKiseh, yet it's mutar lotzimem b'Shabbos, and we're not talking about a chola sheyesh bo sakana, and we're talking about a Kmiya Shal Ksav. But the reason why Chachamim are not afraid of a violation of the Iser of the Iser of Dalet Amos Shusarab is the Kevah de Maseh, since this Kmiya has the power, it's already been proven to be effective, is Afagav de Noket Le Biyodeh Nami Shapir Domi. Which means that he's allowed to take it in his hand, and it's considered a tachshit for a chole, even in this case, where he's holding it in his hand, and there's no iser of carrying it dalet amos b'shus harabim. And the Gemara doesn't come to any conclusion yet, at least at this point, as to whether it has kedusha or doesn't have kedusha. But the Gemara is actually entertaining a very revolutionary possibility that you're allowed to carry an amulet in your hands, and it's not considered a maso, it's not carrying dalet amos, it's considered a takshit, which is very strange that it's in his hands. So Gemara immediately rejects this on the top of Samach Beis Amin Aleph. V'asanyu have a brisa that says, Rabbi Yoshe Omer, You're allowed to go out with an amulet on Shabbos if you put it around your neck, or you tie it down to your arm or other parts of your body. But bilvad on the kedushah yachazena biyado viavi renu arba amos b'shus harabim. He's not allowed to carry it for amos in rishus harabim, because the kamiya is not a tachshit. It's derech malbush if you wear it, but not if you carry it. So it comes out clearly from Rav Oshia and this brisa that it's also to be metalta l'kmiya biyado. If that be the case, we're back to our original problem that if you're going to tell me this kedusha to the kmiya and he's not allowed to take it into Beis HaKisei, then we have to worry about the fact that he might take it off when he goes to the Beis HaKisei and he'll carry it. Therefore, it should be also to go out in Rishus HaRabim. So Gemara says, you know, I'm going to offer you another way of rejecting this proof, that even though a kmiya is also likanes b'shus beis hakise, nevertheless it's also lots of, and you're not allowed to go out with Shabbat. Elohachem ayaskinon b'mechupa b'yar. So again, the havamin of the Gemara was that since a sick person needs